Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's quarantine podcast,
yes. Matt,
we're keeping ourselves entertained, socially distanced.
We're distanced big time. And I saw this on a thing, like, it should really be, like, physical distancing, not socially distancing.
Yes.
We should still be talking with people on the phone and via video call and stuff.
So you're saying I should return my parents' calls?
Yeah.
It's a joke. Love you, Mum. Talk soon.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, we have some experience in this regard, Matt. You and I have been podcasting more than 6 feet, more than 600 miles. I don't even know the exact distance, but across oceans for some time now. So I think we've mastered this.
We were ready. We were ready for the pandemic. Yes, and just a reminder, everyone listening to this, make sure you, I know, disinfect your earbuds or whatever, whenever you're listening to it. And
wash your hands, eat your vitamins.
Yeah. For people who are listening to this podcast years in the future, there's a sort of pandemic virus thing going around the world, and people are just having to be a bit more careful washing their hands and not meeting in big groups, or, you know, the different countries are having different responses. But anyway, just a bit of context.
I like your optimism that in the future Corona is a forgotten blip in history, as opposed to these are the last remaining survivors on the planet, and listening to podcasts is just a small escape from the absolute dystopia that the world has become.
Yeah, we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
We'll get through it. One podcast at a time, starting with a Killing Eve review.
What? Killing Eve?
Matt, we've gone back in time a little bit. This isn't the most topical podcast, but we thought this is kind of an interesting, fun show. We've both seen it. And we thought, yeah, this will make a good podcast. Why are you excited to talk about Killing Eve?
I'm excited because we haven't talked about a TV show in ages. So I'm keen to, like, talk through a TV show. And I've never talked with you about Killing Eve before. So I think maybe for the ESPYs last year, maybe I nominated someone from it. I can't remember, but I'm not sure if you'd seen it at that point.
Yeah, we have been focusing on films. It was the award season with the Oscars, etc. And you and I will not talk to each other about a show or movie if we think there's even a chance that we will podcast on it.
Yeah.
We've been saving this conversation for what, I think this came out in April or something. So we've been stewing on this for about 9 months. It's a podcast just waiting to explode.
So just full disclosure, though, I don't really remember much from it.
Yes.
Yes,
this is going to be perhaps not as in-depth a podcast, but Killing Eve, it's all about the tone, really. Is it as plot-based?
No, well,
yeah, it's pretty plot-based.
There's a bit of plot going around. There's definitely some plot points. That being said, like, not remembering things does not, like, I've still got strong opinions. Still got very strong opinions.
I've forgotten specifically why I feel this way, but I feel it just as strongly.
Yes, exactly.
So if you haven't seen Killing Eve, it's a show about Sandra Oh, who is a police officer who is trying to track down a serial killer who goes by the name Villanelle. And it's kind of a character piece watching these two characters. It's a bit of a cat and mouse drama, action, comedy. Two strong female leads. And I'll say just as much for now, before we do any spoilers, we are going to do some spoilers because the show's been out for a while. So should we give a spoiler warning, Matt?
Was there something you wanted to say before the spoilers or not?
Well, that's the show. If it sounds interesting, watch it, come back, listen to the podcast.
Okay, great. Okay,
Spoiler alert. We actually got the sound of Sandra Oh's police car to do that spoiler alert, specially this episode.
And now there'll be spoilers are coming, at least the ones we remember.
What do you think is a worse crime, serial murder or spoilers?
I think, not everything's black and white, is it? So it sort of ends who's being murdered and what is being spoilt.
Yeah.
if I'm murdering Hitler, right, that's probably not as bad as spoiling
The Masked Singer.
Bad.
Don't care if you spoil The Masked Singer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Hitler, you could even spoil probably a Breaking Bad or something like that. You could spoil, a really good show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely worse. Contextual. I think that the verdict is contextual. We don't like spoilers. We don't like spoilers for good shows. Killing Eve. Yep. We haven't reviewed it yet, but it might be a good show, so we don't want to spoil it.
Did I get the Hitler thing wrong? Did I get the wrong way? Did I do it the wrong way? It was hard to say worse then. Did I mix up my negatives or?
just want to clarify that Matt is not pro-Hitler, just in case he got his double negatives.
I picked him because I thought if I say anyone else, it's going to be controversial. I sort of thought Hitler, everyone can agree, is an acceptable murder.
Yes, I think your point came across.
Okay, good.
I'm sure the YouTube algorithm will probably ban our content anyway, but I think you'd be fine in a court of law.
Okay, good.
So serial killing. Yeah, Villanelle, she doesn't spoil TV shows. She murders people. She's a hired assassin. She's a psychopath. So she has no emotional investment in the people she kills.
Yeah.
What did you think of Villanelle as a character? Did you think that she was an evil villain, a villain that you hated? Was it a villain that you liked? You thought she was a crafty, a clever villain that you were kind of intrigued by, almost even rooting for? Or do you not even think she's the villain? Do you think she's the hero of the story? What's your take on Villanelle?
Or the victim.
Yes.
Someone who's, had not been treated very well and it's hard not to think of her as the villain of the show. She is going around killing people. But I love Villanelle. Love Villanelle. I think she's great. And there's a few reasons. Most of the people she kills, not all of them, are sort of bad dudes. They're sort of mixed up in some bad stuff. So sort of makes it not as bad. She's not going around killing school children.
No. Well, primarily, those are not her targets. But I think if she needed to kill a child to get out of a situation, she would kill the child without hesitation.
Has she done that yet, though?
She did break that kid's neck in the hospital. I'm not sure if she thought that was an act of sort of putting him out of his misery, because I think he had been burned and had lost his parents. But he was not in any immediate health danger. He had the scars from the burns, but he would have survived, basically, his hospital visit. So he didn't need to die. And she killed him, I guess, because she just thought he had a life not worth living. Also because it would have helped her get out of the hospital. Although I think he was helping her. I think he was not going to rat her out. But anyway.
That's interesting, because if she did that out of – and people have different opinions on this. I'm not saying this is my opinion, but if she did it out of compassion, because she, thought his life – couldn't stand to have him living a life like that, they'd argue maybe she's not a psychopath. Maybe she's someone with real human feelings.
Yeah, so it's an interesting question to do some pop psychology, some armchair diagnosis. They constantly refer to her as a psychopath. I believe they get in a police expert on the matter, and he officially says that she is a psychopath, so we're supposed to believe that she is. But is she not able to experience any empathy? Because when there's a scene where she I think she escapes from prison, I think it is. And there's someone that she needs to kill. And it looked to me like she was reluctant to kill that person. And I think she gets her to look the other way so she can shoot her in the back of the head, so that the other person doesn't have to experience any fear or pain while dying. So even though she was murdering someone, it was a more empathetic way to murder someone. So I'm not sure. Perhaps it's a spectrum. I don't think she's completely psycho and evil, but she definitely does not feel any emotion or regret for most, if not all, of the murders that she commits.
Yes. Now, if I could say, there are two things I love about Villanelle, right? One is she's incredibly competent. Like, she knows what she's doing. She knows how to get it done. She achieves her outcomes. You have a lot of confidence when she's going about one of her plans. You go, she's a reliable assassin.
Yeah, she's like a Jason Bourne, James Bond type. Yeah. Like, she's cool, she kicks people's butts, she's crafty, she's sneaky, she's a good spy slash assassin type character. Yeah. She's pretty competent, she's pretty awesome in that regard.
9 out of 10 times I'm not going, oh, why did she do that? Oh, idiot. Like, you know, I'm going, oh, yeah, no, she knows what she's doing. Don't need to be, you know, she'll get it done. The other thing I love about her, she doesn't take herself too seriously. Hate it when people on TV take themselves too seriously. They can't have a bit of a laugh at themselves. They can't, you know, find light in the situation. And she does things with a smile. She's got a good sense of humor. She's got a good, like, you know, I think she's sort of a bit self-referential and deprecating. I think I like it. She's got a good, she has a sense of fun about her.
Yeah, she is very funny. Sometimes I'm not sure it's intentional. Sometimes it's kind of a dark thing that you're laughing at. But she is also funny in the sense that she will, I think in the very first episode, she pretends to be dead when her handler, I think his name's Christoph or something like that, comes in. Like, she pretends to have, like, died and then scares him as, like, a prank. Like, for someone that does a very dark job, she can be surprisingly silly.
And you've got to keep it light when you've got a dark job, don't you? And you've got a very, obviously you've got to think, how can it be appropriate? Like, you don't want, you know, a doctor who's, you know, like, you know, dealing with death and stuff coming out and cracking jokes with the patients. But I almost think, like, you know, an assassin with her handler needs to sort of keep it a bit light.
I knew a doctor that said the most accurate medical show on TV was Scrubs. Not ER, Grey's Anatomy, it was Scrubs. Obviously, it's a comedy and there's some things that are exaggerated, but the reason why they said that is because they do such a serious, stressful job, you need to be able to relieve the tension, and some of the jokes and characters and dynamics that happen in the show were true to real life. Now, I'm not saying that all assassins are wise-cracking larrikins, but I think it's a good decision from the show. They got Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag as the head writer for season one. And that really comes through. It's a good balance of, like, the drama and the action with some comedy and dark humor as well.
And what I like, I don't think it's always great Villanelle making fun of people she's about to kill. That might not be a very nice thing to do, but she seems to also make fun of herself. And I like that. She's prepared to have a bit of a laugh at her own, you know, her own, what she's doing.
It's a conflicting character because you'll catch yourself starting to root for her and then she'll do something unambiguously bad and you go, ooh, oh yeah, I kind of forgot that she's a psychopath. And that's a good character.
Yeah. Love Villanelle. Do you want to add anything about her fashion's great too.
Yes, she doesn't really seem to care about much. She doesn't really have a goal per se. I guess we will learn a little bit more about her backstory. We know she was like orphaned, was in some homes, spent some time in jail. So she obviously wants to avoid that life. I think she cares a bit about money enough to where she can be like independent and have a good life. But it's not like she really has an enemy or a plan or a goal. She kind of just does this because she enjoys it and she's good at it. But she does like the finer things. She likes her apartment. She likes her nice clothes, her perfumes, her makeup, and things like that. And it is kind of funny to like see someone that's kind of like so badass and like so deadly kind of have like a little bit of insecurity about like getting wrinkles or something like that. The fact that she cares about that is kind of funny, and kind of humanizes what is not always that human a character.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. She's really good. Eve, should we talk a bit about Eve? The show is sort of named after her.
Yes. Sandra Oh plays Eve Pollastri. And she works with MI5, British intelligence. And she's not really that high level a detective. She's kind of curious and ambitious and is kind of always trying to prove herself right, look beyond what she's told to do, you know, make the big case. She's a bit of a maverick. Doesn't always play by the rules. And I like that from a police point of view. I like sort of her role and her dynamic within MI5. But I think that takes a bit of a negative toll on her relationship. Maybe you have a different take on it. But I actually like Nico. And I think the fact that she's constantly lying to Nico and refusing to trust him and bring him into her work puts a real strain on their marriage that I think is almost entirely her fault. What do you think?
I don't disagree. I find is it Miko or Nico?
Nico with an N. N for Nancy.
Nico I find annoying as well, though. I feel like she puts all this unnecessary strain on the relationship, but also he doesn't get what it means to be sort of married to someone in MI5.
I don't know, but she's kind of just supposed to be a paper pusher. Like, she's kind of not supposed to be doing the things that she's doing. Look, I liked Nico less in season 2 when he started hanging out with that other lady teacher. I was like, well, that's not really the way. I know you're hurt and lonely, but that's not really going to improve things with your marriage. So I don't agree with that. I don't love Nico. But I felt like in season 1 where he kind of just seemed to be available. He's like, look, I'm here. I know something's going on. I just want to help. Please let me in. And she just never let him in. I didn't think that was all that fair, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of like, she works for like a secret government agency. She can't talk about all the stuff that's going on.
So there you go.
Is Terry Bauer like going, hey Jack, what's going on today? Who are the like hey Jack,
That's fair.
What's going on at CTU? Let me in. No marriage had their issue too.
Well, the real relationship in the show is less Eve and Nico, but Eve and Villanelle. Eve starts out wanting to solve these crimes, these serial killings. She suspects that a woman is doing it and becomes kind of hell-bent on proving that that's true. It turns out she's correct. It is Villanelle, who is a woman. But then it kind of seems to go from, like, solving the case to a personal obsession with Villanelle. What do you think sort of attracts or intrigues or confounds or obsesses Eve with Villanelle?
Yeah, and I'm going to put it out there. I think this is an unhealthy obsession.
Fair. Why do you say that? What's your take on their relationship?
I think the most interesting part of the series, right? You've got this woman who is wanting to catch the serial killer, right? And she's wanting to get in her head. She wants to learn more about it. And the more she learns about it, the more connected she feels with her And then the more it sort of mixes in this admiration a bit, this sort of, you know, wanting what you can't have and all that sort of thing. Like you're sort of wanting to get inside her head to catch her so much that you start to relate to her. And empathy is sort of a bit like the whole, it's sort of a weird sort of like Stockholm syndrome type thing, right? Like, but it's not.
It's like a reverse Stockholm syndrome in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Like not being with the person is making you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think at first it was about the crime, but she kind of wants something grander, and she kind of has sort of a dark sense of humor or disposition of her own. And so she's not repulsed by the things that Villanelle does. She's intrigued by them. And then when I think she gets to realize how smart she is, how lethal she is, how stylish she is, I think she starts to kind of envy some of those qualities. You see her trying Villanelle's perfume, her trying on some of her clothes. She's obsessed with her apartment and her closet. So you start to wonder whether it's an attraction. And I think Eve herself isn't even sure whether it's whether it's an attraction. I'm sure she would say, oh, I'm just trying to solve the case, stop the killings. I think ultimately, though, Eve is a good person. And even though she's intrigued and perhaps envious of Villanelle, maybe even respects Villanelle in some ways, does not want to be like Villanelle and does not want to be with Villanelle, which kind of comes to a head at the end of season two. I think Villanelle has always viewed Eve being like her. She's just on the other side of the law. And if she flipped to her side of the law, they could be on the same team. And she pitches that to Eve at the finale of season two, and Eve says, no, you kill people, I can't do this. And whether on she Eve, I think, could possibly be even prepared to let Villanelle get away, but I don't think Eve wants to murder people herself. She doesn't want to be with Villanelle so much that she wants to do the things that Villanelle does. And as she walks away, Villanelle shoots her. What happens to Eve? She probably survives. They're not going to kill. They're not going to kill Eve after two seasons. What seems to be a successful show.
In a show called Killing Eve, they would not kill Eve.
Yeah, they could just keep on going and just call it Killed Eve. That's past tense. So I think she'll survive. But basically, Villanelle was like, "Well, if I can't have you, no one can," and that kind of comes back to, you know, her emotional psychotic kind of state. That's kind of how she deals with her problems. She seems very loving, but if anything goes wrong, murder. Murder is kind of the first solution to any problem she has.
Yeah. Look, I think with Killing Eve, there is this real, talking about the relationship and whether Eve falls in love with Villanelle or whatever, I do think it is this thing that starts off platonic, where it is just, I want to catch her, let's get her. But I think to do that, she's wanting to understand it. And the more she sort of gets off on knowing, like getting inside Villanelle's head, and I think she sort of, yeah, I think there is that real attraction that develops, and I think she falls in love with Villanelle, to be honest. Now, will she cross that line to kill people and stuff? Probably not. I agree with you there. But I think she's more in love with Villanelle than she is Nico.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, she's definitely let Villanelle put a strain on their relationship. Villanelle has no qualms kind of getting in between them herself. She's kind of confronted Nico. I think she tied up and drugged or knocked out Nico and killed his girlfriend. So she has no love for Nico, but was kind of smart enough to realize, if I kill Nico, Eve won't forgive me for that. So even though she might not have a lot of empathy, she is very smart. She's able to play an emotional game, even if it's all fake. as Villanelle. Is she in love with her? Perhaps. There's a great scene in the final, I think it's the final episode of season 2 as well, where Eve kills Villanelle's new handler, which I think she would have argued was self-defense, even though they'd probably injured him enough to the point where they could have ran away. But she, she finishes the job. And that's kind of the moment where you think, ooh, has she crossed over the dark side? And there's this great kind of second layer to it where I think Villanelle had a hidden gun or something, but was prepared to let him kill her in order to get Eve to save her and to get Eve to commit a murder in order to bring her to the dark side.
Yeah.
But I think in her mind, even though she killed him in that moment, Eve thinks that that was self-defense, and she still views herself as a good person that is different from Villanelle. So maybe that's just was one chink in the armor, and we're going to see her, show more chinks in future seasons if and when she survives. But I think she's going to resist it. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Eve goes full villain. Although I'm down for that. If that's where the show goes, this just becomes like a buddy comedy duo where they just go around murdering people. And then we get one of the other characters from MI5 that has to be like the good guy to like track down the both of them. I'm on board for that show.
Yeah. I think an interesting thing is like the show is called Killing Eve, right? Which could mean that series final, whenever it is, you know, 1 year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years, whenever they wrap up the series, does it end with Eve dying? You're like, this is the story of how Eve was killed, right? Or is it about killing who Eve is? So we go from this good cop trying to catch serial killers to someone who is a killer. And the person she was at the beginning of the series is now completely dead.
Yes. That's because that killing, that ing, it's gradual. It's happening over time. And we see it in little bits. When she, in season 2, I think she has the ghost, the other serial killer, in custody. And she takes her to this kind of, what is this, like shipping container in the middle of nowhere to let Villanelle interrogate, possibly torture her. Like, she's breaking all the rules. She's kind of, you know, crossing all kinds of moral lines in order to what she might convince herself is kind of an end that would justify the means. But you can kind of see those, that progression in Eve over time. That could be the so-called killing of Eve.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting thing. I've forgotten about the thing with the ghost, but like you sort of, we've been talking about how Villanelle has tried to get like Eve to obviously cross over to the dark side. But I think with that ghost thing was almost Eve attempting to get Villanelle on the good side, right? Like it's sort of going, oh, look, you look, well, there's another serial. Someone we need, like, you know, she can be part of our team.
Yes, I mean, this could kind of go two ways. Eve goes to the dark side, or I don't think Villanelle would ever become good, stop murdering, but maybe Eve could turn Villanelle into a Dexter-type character where she only kills the bad guys, you know?
What about Reddington from The Blacklist? I sort of got a bit of vibes of that. Have you seen The Blacklist, that show?
Oh, only the first couple of episodes. It's been years.
Oh, well, that's all you need to see to get the premise. Like, sort of, this is a really bad terrorist, but we'll let him work for us at the FBI because he will help us catch the worst terrorists.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the show could go that direction either. We're seeing a bit of tug and pull. That's the enjoyment of the show, the battle, the back and forth between Eve and Villanelle.
Yeah. I think season 2, I think they've tried that. I think it probably didn't work. But
yeah.
You can't put Villanelle in a box.
Yeah.
You can't put her in a cage. She's going to do what she wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. She will.
Which is actually the same with Eve. You can't really tell Eve. Eve's just going to do what she wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, I think, like, ugh. Yeah, because Eve is kind of hell-bent on this, despite what it's done to her marriage, despite the fact that her friend and co-worker Bill got murdered by Villanelle. It's kind of like, what length is she willing to go to as well? It'll be interesting to see what happens with her boss. I'm forgetting her boss's name, but the lady...
Fiona Shaw, the actress?
Perhaps. It's the one whose son is kind of like the clever yeah. computer hacker guy. I think she's going to be like a real sort of nemesis for Eve going forward. I think if she ever did flip to the dark side, she'd probably be the first person that she wants to murder.
Yeah, I think she's sort of interesting, that character, because, like, she was sort of the boss of things and seemed nice, and it turned out she was working with the bad guys, but then it turned out there was some, like, good reasons for that, but then she's still working. Like, you know, she's a bit of a – I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her.
Yeah, for sure.
The boss. Like, seems like she's juggling a whole lot of operations and balls and things, like
– Yeah, she and Constantine are interesting characters. They're both kind of like – You're in intelligence for England, you're in intelligence for Russia, but you're friends/lovers, you're both kind of constantly helping/double-crossing each other all the time. It's a good dynamic.
Yeah, so we got all this stuff going on with Eve and Villanelle and stuff like that. Any other thoughts? I'm trying to think what else. Oh, here's one for me. Eve, like, so I was talking about how much I love Villanelle because of how competent she is, like, very reliable. You know, when she has a plan, it's probably most of the time going to go off, maybe not in the, like, second last episode of the season because something needs to go wrong and then they need to, like, oh, Villanelle's in trouble for once or something. But Eve, I think, is a disaster. I think she's a bit of a hot mess. Like, she... goes in without fully formed plans. She's half cocked. She's very driven. Like, I think Villanelle, like, Eve is more driven by emotions than Villanelle. And I think she goes into my end. Like, there's just so many episodes where I'm going, like, even when she's like trying on Villanelle's dress and he's like, what is she doing? Like, what is this going to do? Like, and I usually don't have as much confidence in Villanelle because if, like, Villanelle's doing something like that, you're like, oh, yeah, she'll get out of this. She knows what she's doing. I'm like, you work for the police. You work for MI5. You can't do these things. Like, I'm just like...
Yeah, I felt like Eve was more competent in season one when her theory was true and she was able to track down Villanelle. And she kind of had a singular goal that she was kind of somewhat able to achieve. But then when things got muddled and she stopped caring about what her superiors had to say and what her husband had to say and kind of became confused as to what she even wanted anymore, I agree. Eve was definitely a hot mess in season two. So... it'll be interesting to see if getting shot by Villanelle gave her the clarity that she needed going into season three.
Yeah, so I am a bit like, I'm often pulling my hair out going, who makes these decisions? Like, Eve, calm down.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the son's name? I felt bad when she'd, like, even sort of, like, lost the respect of, Frankie. It's not Frankie, but it's something that sounds
like him. He's a very likable, like, he seems like the one guy who's just, like, a straight shooter. Like, I trust him.
Yeah, I like him. He is, Kenny, yeah, Carolyn's son, yeah. Yeah, because Kenny's not the most important character, but he's kind of a likable character, offers a bit of a moral core, a moral center, I would say, for the show. And yes. when Kenny lost respect for Eve, you go, oh, this is where Eve's kind of out of control. She's kind of crossed the line here.
Yeah.
So we'll see if she Kenny's can win Kenny over, win Kenny back in season three.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think we did pretty well considering we watched the show a while ago. Should we do our final thoughts and screen verdict?
Yeah, I think that's good. Do you have any predictions for what we're going to see in Killing Eve coming up?
You know, I kind of think it's going to go to like a Eve versus Villanelle season in season three, which could be interesting. I mean, the show, as you can tell, I like the show. I'd kind of be more interested to like see Eve go full villain, to be honest. But I think it's going to be like I think this is going to feel perhaps more similar to season one in terms of narrative for season three. That's my prediction.
Do you think I probably agree with that. Do you see – is there any – do you think ever that Eve and Villanelle will sleep together?
No. It's certainly possible. I think probably similarly to the end of season one, the series show final, whenever that it ends up being, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many seasons they're going to do. I know it's based on books, so that probably has an influence. But whenever the show ends, it'll probably be similar to the ending of season one where you think they're going to get together and then Eve's going to kill Villanelle. But this time not actually just injure her, but actually kill Villanelle. So you'll be like, wow, the show's called Killing Eve. But in the end, Eve killed Villanelle.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Part of me thinks they will sleep together at some point. I feel like that's a moment for the series, like that sort of like you know, get people talking and sort of be that sort of thing. But I sort of feel like it would have happened by now.
Yeah, look, Villanelle forgave Eve for stabbing her. I'm not sure Eve can forgive Villanelle for shooting her.
The heart wants what it wants.
Maybe. Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants. But, yeah, I don't know. I find that a very hard thing to know because I would have thought, like, halfway through season one that was definitely going to happen at some point, but now I sort of feel like, well, are they really that restrained that if they were going that way, they wouldn't have had it happen yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall.
I'm going to say, if you say no, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to take the other side of the bet.
Are you taking, and then do you think Villanelle kills Eve?
No, I'll agree with you. I think Eve kills Villanelle. I think your argument about the name of the series, that seems a more clever way to go.
All right. Well, there's our predictions. Let us know what you think. If you're a fan of the show, how do you think what's going to happen in season three, how the show will end? Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. And I think that brings us to our verdicts.
Oh, Matt, yeah.
You can do season one and two separately.
Yeah, I will do that.
Hit me.
Do you want me to go? Or do you want to go?
You can go.
I probably didn't love this show, but like some people love this show. Like, oh, this is the best show of the year. Like, I probably wasn't that high. Season one, I thought was so good. I loved Villanelle. I thought that was just such a great character. I thought her relationship with Eve was so compelling. I wanted to see, after every episode, I wanted to see what happened next. I think it was a really great arc as we saw Eve slowly descend into this obsession and Villanelle sort of descend into an obsession with Eve as well. And I thought that was just a wonderful sort of thing to see. There were some moments or episodes that frustrated me a bit. I'm like, oh, what's happening here? Like, oh, yeah. But I thought it was really strong. I'm going to give an 8 out of 10 for season one. Season two, a bit like Eve, I think was a bit more of a hot mess. I think it was a bit more all over the place. I found it hard to buy in to a lot of the stories. I think like, okay, now I've got the ghost thing for a couple of episodes. Now I've got something else for a couple of episodes. I think it was bouncing around. And I just didn't think it was as good. And maybe that's because Phoebe Waller-Bridge wasn't writing it anymore. I just feel like it was a bit all over the place with some great moments, and still I was interested and invested in the characters. So I'll give season two. Oh boy, I've got two numbers in my head. Which one am I going to land on? 7 out of 10. 6.5 out of 10. I'm going to go 6.5 out of 10.
Oof. All right. Well, Killing Eve. I really enjoy the show. I think each episode makes you want to watch the next one. It's a really sort of engaging plot. The two main characters are fantastic. I particularly love Villanelle. I think Jodie Comer does a fantastic job, but Sandra Oh is great too. It's really funny. Phoebe Waller-Bridge was writing in season one, not season two, but the tone didn't change a lot in season two. Maybe, you know, it missed her writing for like some of the individual jokes, but generally it was still funny. Really enjoyed the feel and tone of the show in season two as well. I think season one was probably stronger episode to episode, but the ending left me feeling like a little bit unfulfilled, like I wanted more. And even though the ending of season two was kind of similar in a way, for some reason I think it hit a bigger emotional punch because of what happened in the, what is it, like the hotel or the motel where Eve finally kills someone, and then we get the confrontation between Eve and Villanelle, and Villanelle shoots her. I think it just hit harder. Even though they kind of flipped it, you might think it was similar. I actually like the ending of season two more, but season two was patchier. I think the ghost character, they kind of talked a lot without us seeing them, and then when we did see them, they didn't really end up being all that important. They just kind of were there to serve a scene between even Villanelle, so it was a little bit patchier, but I think it finished strong. So I'm going to give both seasons an 8 out of 10. Yeah, 8 out of 10. I really like the show. I'm definitely on board for season three. I really want to see what happens because I love these two characters. I'm excited to see what happens next.
So interesting how in agreement we were for season one, and then season two we had quite a different take.
Yeah, it has been a while. Maybe the ending kind of sticks in my mind more, and if I were to rewatch it, I'd be like, oh yeah, a lot of this isn't as good. Which I did admit it was patchy, but I feel like the ending really hit, so it kind of bounced back.
Well, how about this? Let's watch season three close to when it airs, and we'll do a fresh podcast straight after that one. Is that like a good deal?
Yes, I'm in. Yeah. If for some reason the listeners haven't watched Killing Eve, watch it. We like it. And then you can listen to the podcast and know what the heck we're talking about. If you have watched it, let us know your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree with our ratings. And get ready for season three. I think it comes out in a month or so. So
I'm excited. Jonathan, housekeeping. Let's open the housekeeping door. I don't know if you want to talk about this at all or not. You've had a premiere of a show you've done. Is that something you can talk about or not?
Yes. So I wrote and directed a pilot episode of a mockumentary sitcom. It is basically Parks and Recreation meets martial arts. It's a mockumentary set at a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym. Those who know me know I've been doing jiu-jitsu a long time. I've been writing comedy, so I finally got to merge the two. Bonnie, my wife, and friend of the podcast,
yes,
acts in it as well. So the whole episode is not currently publicly available. We are trying to sell the show, get the show picked up for a full season. But we did have a premiere screening, which was lots of fun out here in LA at the Met Theater. got about almost 100 people to the screening, which was pretty cool. So if you're interested in the show at all, you think, wow, that sounds kind of interesting. It's called The Gentle Art. Like us on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, etc. And we do have a trailer that's currently available, a two-minute trailer for The Gentle Art. So check it out. And yes, stay tuned for more information. Hopefully, you'll be able to watch a full season in the not-too-distant future.
And if you are an executive for a network or streaming service and you're interested, please get in touch with Jonathan. I'm sure contact details are on the Gentle Art Facebook page and stuff like that. So,
yes, contact us through the socials. My email address is there. And, yeah.
There you go.
We're excited. Yeah,
you never know. I think all the big wigs listen to the Screen Verdict podcast. So, yeah, get in touch. But no, it's so exciting. It's so, what I think is so good about the show, and I haven't spoken to you much about this actually. I've asked you how it went and all that sort of thing. But I think what's really cool is a lot of people talk about, and I'll include myself, talk about, oh, I'd like to make a show, I'd like to write a thing, I'd like to do whatever. You went out and you did it. You've got like this great pilot now. I haven't actually seen it yet, and don't worry, I'll give you my thoughts when I do. But you've got this great pilot. It's a finished thing. You've actually got this thing, and people came and they saw it in cinema. Like, so many people talk about doing stuff like this. You've done it.
Yeah, it is. It was definitely a fun experience, a learning experience. I'm sure a lot of people want to write a show but never actually sit down to write it. Quite a few people write it, but of those people that write something, how many people actually go ahead and make something? Not that many, because it's not actually that easy to get. We probably had, in terms of cast and crew, probably about 25 people, so not a massive production, but enough where there's actually quite a lot of organization involved, time, money, commitment, and getting everybody together was kind of like a really rewarding experience. And obviously we want the show to go somewhere, whether that gets picked up by a network or we turn it into a web series, whatever happens to it. But at the very least, we made something. I'll always have something to show.
Yeah.
For future business opportunities as a representative of my work, or just to friends and family, be like, hey, 20 years ago, this is something I made. It's pretty funny. Isn't that cool? And that's cool that we'll that's something that we'll always have. So, yeah, excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to. So it looks so cool. The trailer's so funny, so I can't wait to watch the actual show.
Well, thanks for the shout out, Matt. I didn't have to plug my own show on my own podcast. You did it for me.
Well, that's exciting. That's more exciting than anything I've done in the past month. So we need to get the rundown. Get all excited.
Well, that's almost as exciting as the Screen Verdict Awards.
Oh, yes.
We might review some TV shows or movies in the near future, but probably the biggest podcast we'll have coming up is our Screen Verdict Awards for 2019 and perhaps Screen Verdict Awards for 2010 to 2019, the biggest ESPYs we've ever done.
Yes.
So,
oh, man, we've got a lot to do.
Yeah, let us know if you have what your favorites of the year were or favorites of the decade. Send us a message or just reply to this podcast on Podomatic or facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, and yep. We'll see whether your favorites align with ours.
And I'm still, so if you post something, like, I'm still putting my list together of my submissions, so could still be influenced by those things. Jonathan sent his through to me. I haven't read them yet, Jonathan, because I don't want your list to influence mine.
I'm locked in, but Matt could be swayed.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Great. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.